Indeed. Now, you know, I am going to do this Ouija board experiment when I get back to Los Angeles soon. Some people have said don't do it. A lot of people have said go ahead and do it. I'll be well protected. We'll have some experts in the studio with me. We're going to talk with one in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. His name is Howard Real. He's next. Don't go away. Since 1986, journalist Howard Michael Real has been involved in an ongoing series of supernatural and unexpectedly events similar to those described by prophets. It started with channeled messages and went on to include visions, accurate predictions of future events, hundreds of astounding synchronicities, and communication with entities claiming to be, among others, Moses' brother, for example, Aaron. And we're going to be talking tonight for a couple hours with Howard Real. Howard, first-time guest on Coast to Coast, I understand. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, George. How are you?
Good. You've done a lot of extensive work, and I do want to congratulate you on the work that you've done with your website, Enoch Coincidence.
Well, thank you.
Nice job.
Thank you very much.
How many years have you been doing this?
Oh, man, this whole business started in 1986.
So there it was, just as the bio says, and in it you went. What got you interested in this? Were you born into it? What happened?
No, I wasn't born into it at all. It was a failed relationship with someone I was very much in love with. It caused me to start asking questions like, what's the meaning of life? And that led me to a past life hypnotic regression class, which was completely out of character for me. And it was interesting. I found some interesting results, and at the time I just happened to be dating a woman who had a friend who was a psychic who lived next door to Brighton Beach in Brooklyn, lived in Sheepshead Bay. And she had a class on Friday nights, and so I started attending the classes, and I saw things that amazed me, that I believed and still believe were absolutely real, and it sparked an interest in what might lie beyond this world that we see with our eyes.
Howard, I'm going to do a Ouija board experiment when I get back to Los Angeles. I, for years, always thought that the Ouija board was an evil tool, that it was the portal for spirits, bad entities. I'm changing my mind now, and I want to prove it, but I think it's an individual who can summon up the evil, not necessarily the board. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a mixed camp out there, Howard. Most of the people I talk to think I should go ahead with it, and some of the experts believe that it is indeed the individual. I might as well ask you, because you've been down this road.
Well, you know, people have asked me, do I believe that there are actually evil forces? And my answer is, are you kidding? I was married to one for 13 years. But the fact is that a Ouija board is nothing more than, say, a payphone on the street ringing as you walk by. You pick it up and you don't know who's going to be on. There could be someone looking for someone else, a wrong number, or it could be some wacko watching you from a window. So mm-hmm. As with everything else, proceed with caution.
Okay, I will do that and surround myself with light and I think the appropriate people to do this. Now, something though happened to you some time ago with a Ouija board, did it not?
Yeah, a whole bunch of the people who were in that class with me began getting together on our own recreationally, and we would do the Ouija board, and I began seeing that there were messages coming across the board from these entities, alleged entities, that contained knowledge that nobody in the room had, knowledge about me, about my history, about people I knew. On a couple of occasions, predictions were made, specific predictions that actually came to pass. In two cases, landed on the front page of the New York Times. And there was no money changing hands. No one was trying to scam or hoax anybody. And I saw that there really was something to this, and I just got fascinated. As the weeks and months went by, the messages began to change slightly in character. They began to say that I and my friends were involved in this for a reason. We were fated or destined to be part of this otherworldly communication because we were part of an ongoing drama throughout the millennia. And I was off and running, so to speak. That was it.
At any point, did you feel threatened that something could happen to you?
At every point, I felt threatened. Mm. It was very spooky. It was not at all what I was used to. And, yeah, it was scary. And I proceeded very cautiously and very skeptically. And now looking back on it, nothing bad ever happened as a result of my using the Ouija board. We used it for about 4 or 5 years, and then the messages we stopped doing the Ouija board, and the messages just came through in a channeled fashion through a friend of mine in particular named Rosalind. And but no, I nothing bad ever happened as a result of using a Ouija board.
Well, that at least makes me feel a little more comfortable, I think, with what I'm going to do.
Yeah, you'll be okay. Wear a crash helmet just in case.
I will, in a tether, so I don't get sucked through the portal just
excellent
in case
idea.
There's one. When you did your past life regression, I haven't done it yet, but I'm very curious to do it because I'd like to tape it and maybe play it back on the program.
Mm-hmm.
How many past lives did they discover with you?
Well, I was in a room with about 40 or 45 people, and the teacher put us all under. And I spent, if we were in the room for 45 minutes, I spent about 40 minutes thinking to myself, I've wasted my money, I've wasted my time, I'm not getting anything, what's wrong with me? But then almost before the session was ended, I did indeed begin to see things materializing in my mind's eye. I could see someone who allegedly was me, I could see a scene, I could see a woman, and I got the sense of the dynamics between the two people. Was it real? Who knows? I don't know. But it interested me enough, apparently, to go to this class on Friday nights and continue to investigate.
But you believe it now?
Now I do believe, yes.
Did it... go ahead.
The experiences I've had, the messages that have come through the board and through channeling, and literally scores of amazing coincidences that have happened, have all been like a connect-the-dots picture. And over the years, you know, being a journalist, I research and I put things together, and the dots go together. There's a compact whole. And when I started this process back in 1986, I was completely agnostic. And seeing this happen and knowing that these coincidences could not simply be coincidence, there's got to be some guiding force behind them, it turned me into a religious person.
Well, as you know, I don't believe in coincidences. I think there's synchronicity, and I think things happen for a reason.
Right.
And yes, there's chance and luck, but I think by and large, things happen because they're supposed to.
I agree with you.
Now, some of these messages, I hope everybody's sitting down for this, because you, in some of the messages of past lives, got some very interesting comments about yourself, did you not?
Well, right out of the gate, the first thing that the messages started to tell us way back in 86 was that my friend Rosalind and I are the reincarnated Adam and Eve.
Okay. Now,
if I had a dollar for everyone,
I want to talk to you about this,
who's been told they're Adam and Eve, I'd be a lot better off than I am. You take it with a grain of salt, and you keep going. You keep investigating.
So I may be talking to the reincarnated first man on this planet.
Well, you know, when I wake up in the morning, sometimes I feel like the oldest man on the planet.
All right, so let's assume for a moment you're Adam.
Okay.
And Rosalind's out there somewhere, right? Eve is around there.
I believe she's listening to this very broadcast.
All right, hello, Eve. And she may call for an apple. You never know.
You never know.
Okay, now, in the past life, what did you say for the regressionist to say, Howard? This is who we think you might be.
Right.
How did this come about?
The past life regression that I went to at the very, very beginning did not bring me back to Adam and Eve.
It did not. Okay.
It showed me someone living in what I take to be the 1800s in the United States.
Okay. How did the past life of Adam and Eve come about? How did you know?
Well, the entities on the board just out and told us that that's who we were. They went on to tell us that neither of us will die. We will be zapped up to heaven alive, just like Elijah the prophet in the Bible and like Enoch in the Bible. And they told us that we're here for a reason, to play a role in the coming drama to unfold.
Do you believe this?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. That's the question people ask me the most. Do you really believe this stuff? I know that all of these coincidences that I and other people have seen happen, they've happened independent of me and my friends, independent of the Ouija board. They're real. They happened. And, you know, the famous Scottish philosopher David Hume said, no testimony is sufficient to establish a miracle unless its falsehood would be more miraculous than the fact it endeavors to establish. In other words, sometimes it's harder not to believe than to believe.
I've got to tell you, Howard, of the thousands of people I've interviewed in my career, you are the very first to ever say that you were once Adam.
Well, I can't take credit for it. I just wrote it down.
And you believe these messages? How do you know they weren't trying to distort you or trick you?
Well, they may indeed have been trying. However, the reason I knew that this was a real phenomenon, rather than just some trickster spirits talking to us on the board, is that they jumped off the board and into real life. And so coincidences at work, in other people's lives, coincidences in my life story, my history, they all followed this pattern, and they all could not have been the result of some wise guy stiff talking to us on the Ouija board. Couldn't have been. They could not do that.
So assuming the soul continues on and gets reincarnated,
mm-hmm.
the soul of Adam,
yes.
the Adam we know about,
yes.
the Adam we've read about, it's your soul.
If this stuff is to be believed, yes.
If it's to be believed.
Right.
This is absolutely amazing. It's preposterous, but it's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And it took me many, many years to wrap my brain around this. You know, when you study religion, there's an ancient legend that says when the ark was built and it started raining, Noah stood outside the ark until the water was up to his nose, because up until it reached his nose, he still didn't believe it was really going to happen. You know, I've had one eye on this stuff, believing it, because I can't deny the coincidences. On the other hand, I look at it as a rational person, and I think, nah, come on, this couldn't possibly be real. And so I've got that double vision for 20 years now, and as much as I know that these things actually happened, there's a part of me that just will not embrace it.
Well, we'll open up the phone lines next hour, and we'll get a full array of what people believe on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Howard, do you have any past recollections of being Adam? Does it come to you in a dream state? Do you know where the Garden of Eden might have been? Anything like that?
Well, I grew up in Brooklyn, so that would be my first choice.
Mm.
But as a matter of fact, I did have a couple of, I don't call them visions or things that you see in your mind's eye, and they're very unusual. For example, as Adam, I had a picture of walking through this lush garden and finding an animal on the floor that had been slaughtered. And there's nothing in the Bible that would lead you to believe that there was someone else in the garden who might have killed and cut up an animal.
That's a good point.
But there it was. If I was simply reproducing the Bible account, I wouldn't have come up with something like that. I saw another picture of me sitting in a stream, in a warm stream on a rainy day. Now, why would I picture that as Adam? In a third instance, I could see myself and Eve walking, and I presume it was leaving the Garden of Eden. And over my head, I could hear chatter as if there was a radio on in the background, and I could sense that there was someone or something above us. Now, back when this was happening, back in 1986, I had never cracked open a Bible. I didn't know that there was an angel with a flaming sword chasing Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, and yet that's what this appears to be.
Why do you believe the soul of Adam, the very first human, why is it reincarnating? Why hasn't it gone on to that other level, that plane?
Well, it may indeed have gone on to another plane. What the messages tell us is that my friend Rosalind and I have been reincarnated several times, and each time in some kind of integral role to help guide, if you will, history in a certain path. You know, Judaism talks about tikkun olam, perfecting or repairing the world. And I think that what the plan is, according to the messages and the coincidences, is that the world's got to get back to a state of Eden, a state like the Garden of Eden. It's got to perfect itself by bringing mankind to a new level of awareness. And certainly there are many traditions that say this.
Because
that would be my best guess.
Are you getting feelings, Howard, of impending doom on this planet? Are you getting feelings of enlightenment on this planet? What are you getting there?
I had many more feelings of impending doom, and then I got divorced, and it got better. I look around the world.
You had a rough marriage, didn't you?
It was a rough marriage, George. We can spend a whole other show talking about that.
You see, you should have married Eve there, Howard.
You see that? Well, it's funny because my second wife's middle name is Eve. But I don't sense impending doom, but I read the news every day, and I see the forces of evil getting stronger because the forces of good don't want to fight the forces of evil. Instead of confronting terrorists, for example, we try and placate them, we try and negotiate with them, we try and feel their pain, and I think that that's a very wrong direction to go in. So, yes, I do see darkness gathering.
As Adam, do you believe that you were indeed conceived the way the Bible says you were, or, as some believe, that you were genetic modification done by extraterrestrials who came down here and created you?
I got no information about that whatsoever. Your guess is as good as mine. I have not a clue.
What does your gut tell you?
Well, my gut, as a believing Orthodox Jew, my gut tells me that it's entirely possible that God created Adam, just as described in the Bible. So I have no problem believing that. But as far as my own experiences, I have no evidence about it.
Do you go on speaking engagements, Howard, or anything like that?
I don't. I'd like to. I'd like to have the time to do that. I have not thus far, but I would like to, because I think these experiences are important for people to hear about and investigate. I've been inviting people, colleges, universities, programs, to investigate these, because this is a phenomenon with which the world has really not come to grips. We don't understand it, not even close. It very much approximates the prophetic experience in the Bible. So whatever this experience is, we need to study it. We need to put it under a microscope, and I'd be more than happy to take part in any effort in that direction.
The fact that you believe that you could be Adam, or the reincarnated Adam, has that changed your life dramatically, or have other things changed it?
Well, other things have changed. The information about Adam hasn't changed anything. But again, the messages, and they went on for years and years and years, together with the coincidences, which again are independent of the messages, independent of me, they happened out in the world. They're undeniable. People have seen them. Other people have seen them and acknowledged them. Those things showed me, as I said before, that there is definitely a guiding hand. It made me believe in God, because I can't explain this any other way.
I guess in theory, we must be relatives because we're all part of Adam, aren't we?
That's probably true. We're all one family. If only we would act that way.
All right, what do people say when you meet them on the street, Howard, and you say, hey, or do you tell them this?
I have not talked about this for 2 decades because it's so weird and it's so strange.
Why now?
Well, you know, George, you reach a certain age and you just figure, what the hell? I've been sitting on this for a long time. I want to tell the story, and if people think I'm nuts, so be it. To be perfectly honest, if I hadn't lived through this myself, I'd probably think I was nuts, too.
Is Howard Real missing a rib, by any chance?
I've never had a doctor tell me that.
Would that be bizarre?
All the parts are intact.
You've got to go get an x-ray, because if they x-ray you and say, Howard, I don't know what happened to you, but you're a rib short, my friend, that's a weird story.
Well, people have told me that my wheelbarrow is a few bricks short. They haven't said anything about my rib.
Now, if you can find out that the ribs are short, then we have one heck of a story.
That would be a good story.
Yeah, it sure would. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, where do you go from here? What kind of message do you try to get out to people now?
Well, the message is, I think, you know, the bottom line message is that there's something out there, and I think it's God. I think that there's an intelligence behind this, a guiding force. What we know as coincidence doesn't just happen. There's a template, a program that the world follows, and I believe each of us individually follows our own program. Other people call it destiny. Other people call it karma. And there's a rhyme and a reason to the world, and I think that it's important to know that.
That is amazing. I'll tell you what we're going to do, too. We're going to open up the phone lines this half hour. I want a lot of people to jump in on this. You're going to get a lot of people, Howard, that are not going to believe this story. You might get a few who will, but Howard Real, our guest tonight, believes that he is the reincarnated Adam. Yes, the Adam from Adam and Eve, part of that story. So stick around with us. We'll be back with Howard. We'll take your phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, here's an incredible story. A 50-ton bowhead whale caught off the Alaskan coast last month had a weapon fragment embedded in its neck that showed it survived a similar hunt. What's a big deal about that, huh? The hunt was more than a century ago. Embedded deep under its blubber was a 3.5-inch arrow-shaped projectile that has given researchers insight into the whale's age, estimated between 115 and 130 years old. Isn't that an incredible story? Hey, by the way, it's last chance for me to remind you, if you have an opportunity, to watch the Sci-Fi Channel tomorrow, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Pacific Time. That means while we're on the air live with Coast to Coast, bring a television in too, at least for 30 minutes, because you'll get a chance to see Into the Unknown, our television show on the Sci-Fi Network, Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Pacific Time. And we're with guest Howard Real. Howard, do you sometimes think you're losing your mind with all this?
Well, you know, I don't think I'm losing my mind, because I've got a very good basis for believing that what has happened has been real. I will share one thing with you. I was at work one day back in 1987. And in those days, all these things were happening, and I was putting together the messages and the coincidences, and I was reading books and staying up all night and thinking, what does it mean, this? Could this be connected to that? And I remember very clearly, I was sitting on my desk at work. I worked in Lower Manhattan, and my head began to spin from this stuff. And I got up, and I kind of staggered into the men's room, and I pulled off my glasses, and I threw some cold water on my face. And I looked at myself in the mirror, and I remember clear as day thinking to myself, Howie, you have got to stay on top of this stuff, because if you don't, it's going to pull you under and drown you.
Mm-hmm.
And after a moment, my breathing got normal again, and things stopped spinning, and I went back to normal. But this stuff can spin your head around if you're not careful. So, again, I urge caution.
What got you convinced that whatever was happening to you was real?
Well, it was the coincidences, and I can share some of them with you if you like.
Okay, and again, you call them coincidences, I call them fate.
I'm using the word coincidence just because it's handy. Synchronicity, absolutely.
All right.
I was getting together for a session, a Ouija session, with my friend Rosalind once, and our friends Teresa, Michelle, Sue, and Raymond were not with us.
And do you still Ouija?
No, I haven't in years. That ended back around 1990, 91. Haven't done it since then.
Okay.
Rosalind started to see the vague form of a man. He had a beard, and he had some kind of turban on his head and some kind of shawl or robe over his head, and she got a name that sounded like Ahern or Alern. Well, I didn't know anything, but I had seen Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments, and I knew that Moses' brother was John Carradine, Aaron. And she began to cough because she said there was smoke all around her. So the next day, I talked to a friend of mine named David, who had grown up going to yeshivas, and I asked him, tell me about this guy Aaron from the Bible, describe him. And he described him exactly the way Rosalind had described him the night before. And I said, well, why would there be smoke around him? And he said, well, Aaron was the high priest. He used to carry around an incense censer that would give off plumes of smoke.
And what if you were remote viewing, all of you?
Remote viewing what?
The past.
Well, I'll tell you why. I'm glad you asked. One of the things that this fellow Aaron said to us that night, one of the messages that came through, was that I was the chosen one, and that I was supposed to bring light to the world, because there's a great darkness coming. A month or two later, Rosalind and I went to some psychic in Queens, and she did a tarot card session for Rosalind, and it went on for almost an hour, and we were just about finished and packing up our stuff, and suddenly the psychic got stiff, and her face lost all expression, and she pointed to me, and she said, you were not born, you were sent. And so I leaned over to Rosalind, and I said, my mother will be very interested in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she said, over my shoulder, she saw some guy with a beard and a turban and a robe or some kind of cloth over his head. And he was saying that I was supposed to, and she said to me, you're the chosen one, and you're supposed to bring light for the darkness ahead. Now, we had never discussed it with her. She didn't know me from, well, I was going to say from Adam. I break myself up.
I like that.
She had no way of knowing that we had gotten that at my house a month earlier. So how could that have been? Unless there is that connection, unless there's something out there that Rosalind picked up on, and then this woman picked up on independently.
Howard, let's take some phone calls, or should I say Adam, and let's see where they lead us.
Howard,
west of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, please. You're on with us.
Hi, I was listening to you guys talk about this Adam and Eve type of thing, and it got me to thinking that I'm a born-again Christian, and when I described basically what happened to me, my pastor basically told me I was attacked by a demon in the middle of the night.
What happened to you?
Well, I was sleeping, and I woke up because something was moving around in my room. And I looked over, and there was nothing there, so I turned back around and tried to go back to sleep. And I heard it again, so I turned back over, but I couldn't turn all the way over. Something forced me back down on my bed. And I tried to sit up, and something forced me back down. And it felt like a hand was around my neck trying to choke me. And I tried to open my mouth to say stop it or something like that, because I just thought maybe I was half asleep and I just couldn't see the person that was actually doing this to me. But I opened my eyes all the way and there was nobody there, and I could not move. And I couldn't even speak to say stop it. It was like somebody was holding my lips shut. And then I closed my eyes and I started praying, and I started saying things in my prayer like, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke whatever is happening to me. And when I started saying that, the feeling intensified. Like it felt I could barely breathe. I couldn't speak. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't move. And then I just kept on praying and saying, I rebuke you. I rebuke you. And finally, it just stopped and it went away.
Has it gone away permanently, or has it come back?
It came back about a month later, and I did the same thing, and it went away, and that, like, literally 2 minutes later, it came back again.
So you still have a problem here, then, don't you?
I do. My pastor basically told me before I go to bed at night, in my normal prayers, basically just bind and rebuke the devil that night from coming into your life, or, you know, doing whatever he can do to you. And I guess that night I forgot to do it or something, and it happened again. And every night that I don't pray that, I feel an eerie evil presence.
Really? You know, like in my Howard, why would he have to do it every night?
I'm not certain of that. I do know that prayer does generate some sort of good vibration. It's a powerful thing to do. I'm all in favor of prayer. I've never had an experience like this gentleman had. However, we did have someone that we were told about on the Ouija board who had been stalking my friend Rosalind and me down through the centuries. They gave us a name, a real name, and it turned out that Rosalind had just met the week before someone with that name.
What
and sure enough,
name?
Over the months to come, this guy started to go off the deep end and stalk her and threaten her, just as the board had told us he would.
What was the name, the first name?
Well, I don't want to give the real first name. In the book that I wrote, Enoch in the Book of Coincidences, I call him Frederick. But
the first and last name
came on the board, and it's the only time in my memory we ever got that.
And this individual had that last name, too?
Yes.
That's kind of eerie. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there. Hello?
Hi, George. Yeah, this is Chris. I'm calling from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hi, Chris.
Very good pleasure to speak with you this evening. Long time listener, about 4 years. I've been interested in everything from Cydonia to all your marvelous topics. But this evening, however, I would like to, you know, throw in my two cents on the topic of prophets. I think that's what your guest has been talking about, or the sense of being chosen.
Take it away.
Well, I believe, you know, individuals like Edgar Cayce, individuals like Jim Morrison might be considered modern-day prophets, and I think a lot of people wouldn't dispute that. I mean,
no, they called Edgar Cayce the American prophet, and I think he's one of the best.
He is a healer. He developed in the trend of a lot of great prophets as a healer first, and then into somebody who was able to predicate, you know, and make some predictions. But I guess what I'm interested in discussing would be this notion of looking forward to not so much the idea of the apocalypse, because I think every generation has an apocalypse.
I agree with that.
Has an apocalypse. And I know the year 2012 is a recurring theme on your program. And I was curious to see if your guest, who has more or less self-selected himself along those lines, as a prophet, had any opinion about that, and whether he thought that it was just astrology taken to a certain conclusion, or if there was any sort of indicative value that he might endorse as well.
All right, let's find out.
Well, first, I take exception with great respect. I did not select myself in any way, shape, or form. When these messages started coming through the board and through channeled means, I was as surprised as anybody to hear that they were talking about me and saying things about me and giving me honorary titles. So it's not coming from me. I wrote it down. I was the guy with the pen. I'm the journalist. Like Fox News says, I report, you decide. So it's not coming from me. Number two, I don't think you need to have supernatural communication in order to see that this world is headed towards a very, very tough time. We live in an era of suitcase nuclear weapons. If they don't exist already, they will soon. We live in an era of nations and now terrorists stockpiling weapons of mass destruction, bubonic plague, Ebola, etc. We have yet to come up with a comprehensive, effective way of fighting these people. One guy with a suitcase can now take out a city. According to the U.S. government and many others. So, yeah, I see troubles coming, and that's not supernatural in the least.
And you believe these troubles, though, have occurred throughout history of mankind, Howard. So I believe in one thing he said, every civilization had its own apocalypse.
Well, certainly human history presents itself as a struggle between what we know as good and evil, light and darkness. There are always good guys and always bad guys, and that's programmed into the fabric of life on Earth, and I suppose that's the way it will always be until we arrive at some messianic future when the formula changes. But every generation faces some sort of an apocalypse. Only now is it a nuclear apocalypse that we're facing.
Wild card line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hello there.
Hello, George.
Hi.
This is Jonathan calling out of Bossier City, Louisiana.
Louisiana. Go ahead, Jonathan.
All right, I got a question for your guest.
Hi, Jonathan. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm okay.
We're all okay. Let's go.
Just wondering, would you get the same results as an actual Ouija board as you would for, like, if someone wrote numbers on a piece of paper and like used a ring as a planchette, homemade board per se?
Yeah, I suppose you might very well get the same result. Sure. There's nothing magical about the board itself. So yeah, if you've got a message coming through, it'll come through, whether it's a board or a piece of paper or anything else like that.
Sure.
If you're a non-believer in a board's ability to function and work and get in messages, you sit there and you laugh, it's a toy.
Mm-hmm.
Will it work? I don't think so.
Will it work if you don't believe it will work? That's an interesting question. My friends and I would get together, and we all believe that the board would work, because when our friend Rosalind would do it, and her hand would just whip back and forth spelling out words at an incredible rate. And so we saw that it did work. None of us thought it would not work.
How many different entities came through, Howard? Different entities.
Oh, dozens.
Dozens, all right.
Dozens.
Was there any one person in your group that might have been the one that summoned them all up?
I don't believe so, no. There were several people who could do the board, and we got guests with all of them. So, no, I don't think there was any one person who was summoning anything up.
Let's go east of the Rockies. Hi there, you're on Coast to Coast.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Don from South Carolina.
All right, Don.
Hey, I'm a non-believer. Not only am I a non-believer of the Ouija board, I might be a non-believer of Howard. Hey, Howard.
How you doing, Don?
Not too bad. Not only am I a non-believer of the Ouija board, I'm also maybe a non-believer that you may be a close descendant of Adam.
He thinks he is Adam, as a matter of fact, Don.
Well, according to my usually reliable sources, I am.
Okay. Well, I mean.
Now tell me, though, Don, why do you not believe that that's who he may be, at least in the reincarnated form?
This is John, and I am also, well, I believe that he may be in the reincarnated state, maybe Adam, but I don't believe he is more so than any other human being like me, myself, or especially.
So you think we're all the reincarnated Adam?
Well, I'm a very spiritual person, and I have kind of dreams. They're very vivid, and I can't say they're of Adam. But it just goes back to the creation and the beginning of Earth, and I relate it to everyday life, maybe. And I guess everybody might have that same passion to do so.
Well, I believe that. I think it's all within all of us. Whether Howard is Adam or not, I guess that's anybody's guess. How would we know for sure, Howard? How will you know for sure?
I don't believe you can know for sure in this world. Maybe when we die and go to heaven, we get all the answers. But here on Earth, there's no way to know for sure. Nor do I ever pretend that there is or tell anyone that this is definitely true. I couch it the way, you know, a reporter is supposed to couch things. This is what came through. I think it might be possible, but I'm not certain. And that's as far as it goes.
Wild card line, you're up with Howard Real. Hi.
Hi, Howard and George. Carl from Milwaukee. My question is, in your messages, do they come in the form of symbolism or did they come around and say the message?
The messages came mostly through words, mostly spoken, sometimes symbolism, a little symbolism, mostly words, mostly just direct verbal or, in the case of the Ouija board, spelled out communication.
Did they ever come in dreams?
Messages through dreams? Not really, no.
Okay. I appreciate the call, and thank you, George and Howard, or should I say Adam? Yeah, have a good night.
I signed my checks, Howard, but thank you very much anyway.
Well, just think, though, if you were getting checks with Adam and you're getting paid for the services from way gone back, what a check that could be, Howard. Huh?
That's true, but then the IRS would tax me twice.
This Rosalind, who now you say is Eve, is there a feeling there for her? I mean, do you feel this involvement with her?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. She and I, when we met, we had absolutely nothing in common. And you know how the sensation of meeting someone and feeling that you've known them for a long time and immediately feeling comfortable?
Or comfortable, yeah.
There was that. And we've become friends and we've stayed friends all these years.
Does she believe, as you believe you're Adam, that she truly is Eve?
I don't know if she believes that she truly is Eve. I would say, and I hate to speak for her, that she experienced the messages and the coincidences just as I did, and she would have to admit that a lot of these coincidences are baffling, that they couldn't just plain happen, that there's got to be some meaning behind them, or at least some intent. So she'll tell you that these phenomena are real, that they actually happened, and that it's concrete reality. Whether or not she believes that she may be Eve, I have no idea. She might.
Do you believe she's Eve?
I believe it's possible. I can't say more than that. I can't tell you yes or no. Given what I've seen and experienced, I'll say it's possible.
That is absolutely remarkable. Howard Real, his websites are linked up right now at coasttocoastam.com. You can see them right there in his website. Those of you who are driving around, enochcoincidence.com. Very easy to remember. Floating format, back in a moment.